today's episode, Netflix and Slichas, an emphatic decrying of a philosophically misguided and spiritually damaging attitude, shouldering the burden and pains of others and of Hashem, and dripping blood while davening mincha. I'm Moshe Sharman, and this is the Chavrusa Podcast, an exploration of timeless wisdom and ideas that have guided some of history's greatest people for over 3,000 years. So I don't know if other people have this, but my memory as I'm getting older is getting drop fuzzier. But there are certain things that I remember very vividly. And one of them, right after I got married, sitting at home in New Jersey, Central Jersey, Lakewood, New Jersey. It's a studio apartment. It's not really doing it justice. It's like one room. Everything was around that room. One room and a bedroom. And so I was sitting in the one room because there was nowhere else to sit. And I started to learn the Sivas Shalom for the first time. The Sivas Shalom, tall, slender, red sefers, attractive from the outside. And I heard great things about it. So I started learning. And one of the first things he said, it's like, boom, it stuck with me. It's so sharp, so awesome. He said, you know what a real Jew is? You only experience. No, not your own experience. A real Jew. I remember it so vividly that I'm misquoting it. That's funny. A real Jew is somebody that while the knife is still dripping with blood after he stabs someone, he gets up and davens mincha while the knife is still dripping blood. He's able to go pray he's able to go pray while his knife is still thanked. And it's so jarring, and I was like so taken by it. I went a couple minutes later, it was in between Siddurim. I was learning in yeshivas. So you have first Seder, first session, second Seder, second session, night Seder, then try to intersperse more learning in between all those things. Try to. Some people do. They're like super, super studious and pious and amazing people. I'm privileged to count myself amongst people that sat next to them and know them. But so I went back to yeshiva and I started like telling this to people. You know what a real Jew? You don't taste. I think that's what the quote was. L'ta'am tam yados. You only taste the taste of Judaism and the taste of Hasidus after you have that experience that you just. Can you imagine somebody, you stab somebody? I can't imagine. I've never done it. Don't do it. But the experience, you probably feel like terrible. You must feel so horrible. All right, it's the first time. It's the famous thing in Harry Potter with the Horcrux, the first time Voldemort killed. And then you become callous. But the first time you speak to any mass murderer, again, never spoken to a mass murderer, the first time is always the hardest because it's, like, you feel disgusting. You feel terrible. You just did a terrible thing. So you do something terrible, and then to say, okay, I did that, but now I'm going to daven mincha. So many times, even in a less graphic, memorable way, but you wake up late, and you eat a bag of chips for breakfast, or processed flour, piece of bread, or one of these cereals, masquerades as breakfast, right? The cookies, cookie crunch. What a scam. Fruit Loops, like literally candy, Fruity Pebbles. And you eat that and you feel, and then you're like, you know what? Okay, at this point it's late and I'm eating things. I might as well just, and you end up slogging through the day. A Jew is able to say right now, I did a terrible thing, but I can't let that stop me. I can't continue this. I gotta power through, recalibrate, restart, re-engage. Really cool. Medieval commentary, the Sefer HaChinuch, the book of education, written in the medieval times. I don't know exactly when. I think like the 1100s or 1200s. And it was written anonymously. And he talks about people that due to previous actions that they've taken, Maybe they stab somebody, maybe they did something less severe, but they feel they're not worthy of wearing tefillin. Not worthy of wrapping tefillin. Tefillin, you're putting it opposite your heart, opposite your mind. You're binding yourself to the master of the world, creator of the universe. Such a rapture of holiness. And me, what I've done, my physical body, I'm not holding there. I'm not able to wear tefillin. And the Sefer HaChinuch talks to these people. Judah Michelle, Book Ba'Derech, page 32, talks about this, and he quotes it. And the Sefer HaChinuch emphatically decries such a mindset to think that you're now capable, worthy of donning tefillin. You're philosophically misguided, spiritual damaging. No. And he says there is no person, this is King Solomon, there's no person who does only good. Hey, that's the human condition. We make mistakes. Yeah, even so, we don't say, oh, well, only if you're perfect, you do mitzvahs. No, when you do a mitzvah at a time that you're clocked in, you're zoned in with the spiritual, you're cloaked with divinity, you're cloaked with Hashem, and you're able to do good. It's pretty cool, and it's so important to internalize. Rav Judah writes, he says, failure to excel in one area of Judaism does not eliminate the possibility of other points of connection and closeness. It's not all or nothing. It's not all or nothing, and the world makes it out to be, but it's not. It's not all or nothing. Failure to excel in one area of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, does not eliminate the possibility of other points of connection. And when we ruminate on mistakes of the past, that causes us to spin our wheels and you get stuck. Maimonides spells this out, Rambam spells it out. What's the process of tshuva? You recognize what you've done, leave the negative behavior behind, regret that, what you've done to yourself, to others. Verbal admission, honestly, what you have done, speak it out, and then resolve in your hearts not to do it again. Commit to a new future and move on. Right? That's it. You process, you let go of it, and then you become present and focus on the future, change, growth, knowing who you could be. Baal Shem Tov says such a deep idea. Right at the beginning of the fifth of the five books of the Torah, of Devarim, Deuteronomy, it says, "The case, the thing that is too hard for you, bring it to me." What's this talking about? This is talking about when Moshe, the greatest of all leaders, humblest of all men, is building up a team of judges, like court system, to be fair and to delegate the responsibilities to create a structure. So he says, like the most complicated cases, they move up, move up, move up until it gets to the highest court. Baal Shem Tov takes it allegorically, and he says, when something is too difficult, when the thing is too hard, mikem, it is probably from you. Sometimes we feel like we're stuck, we're at an impasse, we're overwhelmed, we're stranded, we're winded. We're getting in our own way. We're creating our own difficulties with our ego. Our subconscious motivations are trapping us in our own head. The things are coming from us. Things are coming from us. We're living in those past patterns, and we're not letting us get out of it. We're stuck there with the knife dripping and saying, I can't do this. I can't go daven. I can't wear tefillin. I just killed someone. Or I just did an aveira. I just spoke Lashon Hara, whatever it is. I just saw that. I just watched that. I'm going to go now and go do Slichas. I saw somebody tweeted last night, is it? I'm recording this Sunday night. So somebody tweeted this last night by Slichas. Daven Slichas last night. So midnight. Midnight, the week before Rosh Hashanah, comes the end of Shabbos. Want to take Shabbos with us into the energies of the pre-Rosh Hashanah vibe and tap into it. So we start off with Slichos of singing, L'shmaya L'arina V'alatfila, singing and praying and pouring our hearts out and really coming together as community and also as growth seekers, as travelers on the path. We had a beautiful Slichos here, 13th gate, which is an initiative that we started in in Maryland. We'll have to talk about that more on another edition of the podcast, maybe episode. So we had a wonderful slichas, and I saw afterwards today that somebody tweeted right before slichas. It says, "What do you do in the time before slichas? Because Shabbos ends, let's say, 9 o'clock, and slichas is starting at 12 o'clock. You have 3 hours. What do you do then?" And it was an attempt at humor. I guess it was funny. I don't know. Not that great in the humor department. So I'm not gonna judge the joke, but that was the joke. The joke was like, normally Saturday night I do da 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 da, but now how am I gonna do that and then go to Slichas? Right, because that's the operating normative system that you feel like, if I just watch Netflix, now I'm gonna go Slichas 12 o'clock and pour my heart out to Hashem. So of course, what we did at the 13th gate, we did a ramp up to the Slichas, and we had a Milava Malka, had some pizza, had some speeches, some music, some singing. It's beautiful. Abba, if you're listening to this, it was Der Heuben. It was on a whole new level. But he was the one that led the singing and stuff. He had the guitar and hosted it. Great stuff. What was I saying? Oh, so that's the. Sometimes we have that feeling, like, I just watched Netflix, I can't go watch Slichus. I just stabbed the guy, I can't daven mincha. But what Hashem says is, right now where you are, I want to connect. I want to connect. And of course, I'm not happy that you do this stuff. But not because you did it, but because you could do better. You could do better. So now come and do better. It's a good story. Judah Michelle quotes this story here. A Jew once came to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Bavitcher Nachum Mendel Schneerson, great tzaddik, visionary, leader. And he said, "I don't go to shul the whole year. I don't go to shul. I don't go to shul. So now I'm a hypocrite because I'm going to come now on Rosh Hashanah. I come now the high holidays. I come twice a year. I'm a hypocrite." The guy next to me is going 3 times a day. "I'm a hypocrite." And the Rebbe says, No. You, the natural place, your natural place is to be in shul. You're not being a hypocrite when you go to shul. The rest of the year, when you don't go to shul, that's the hypocrisy." And he's pointing here on a very deep idea, right? To be true to yourself. Two definitions to take to it. What's your true self? Is your true self the whole year, or is it the Rosh Hashanah? Is it the Netflix or the Slichas? Is it the moments of inspiration or getting down on yourself? Which one are you? Which one are you? How do you view it? What's the true self? What's the true self? When you give in to that temptations, are you being true to yourself because that was your temptation? Oh, I'm attracted to this, and therefore I'm doing it, and that's my true self, and I gotta be authentic and live my life? Or is the authentic self your ambitions, your dreams, your idealism of who you could be, of what you want to become? And the hindrances aren't you, your lusts and urges aren't you, but they're the steps to get there, that the exercise of unlocking yourself, really bringing out the work and the effort refines you. That's the story with the high holidays. So, a tremendous rabbi, Rabbi Rucham Lovavitz, he was the Mashgiach in the Yeshiva of the Mir, the spiritual connoisseur of the Mir Yeshiva. And he made an observation. He said, "People become so used to being unhappy that they're unaware of the misery that they're causing themselves, the unhappiness they're causing themselves. They're imprisoning themselves because they fill their minds with such thoughts of resentment and negativity, envy, hatred. And they end up tolerating such a living. They're so unhappy, yet they're causing it. And they're tolerating it because that's just their normal thought pattern, and they feel it's their normal picture of life, and they think it's impossible for it to be any differently." Pia Chesner Rebbe says, no, not the Pia Chesner Rebbe. Kleinem is Kalman Epstein of Krakow. Got confused there because Pia Chesner Rebbe is also Kleinem is Kalman Epstein. Kleinem is Kalman, like my brother, Big Tzaddik. Claimus Kalman Epstein, Ma'or V'Shamash. The Ma'or V'Shamash says like this. He says, "When a person looks carefully at themselves, they can feel lowest of the low, lowest of the low, completely worthless, full of transgressions. Who am I? And when you start to think in this manner, you start getting depressed and, hey, hi, who am I? Where am I? And you start feeling this excessive guilt. And he says you have to realize that this is coming from the Yetzer Hara. It's the evil inclination that's pulling you away. It's pulling you down. And you gotta stop focusing on the wrongs that you committed. Right now, your obligation is to think of things that will make you joyous. Think of things that make you happy. From now on, Jewish people, from now on, Baruch HaMeshba says, from now on, Ba'ata Yisrael, from now on, Jewish people, right now, just live like a Yid. That's all Hashem wants. Like, live like a Jew. Live like that Jew that the Nesiv HaShalom is talking about. That it doesn't matter what I did just 5 minutes ago. Focusing on what we've done wrong and how we failed leads to worry, leads to sadness, depression. It saps our vitality, our life force. I disregard the past, the failures, the guilt. Embrace the now, the now, and now. And now, that's why the Torah is always tshuva. Anytime the word says and now is a reference to tshuva. Because it's about the present. Yosef says the same thing to the brothers, right after the brothers sold him into slavery for many years. Such misery, such terrible stuff. Soul breaking. And he knows that when he reveals his identity to his brothers, they're going to be so sad. Sometimes the hardest part of hearing bad news for yourself, you're able to handle it and you work on your resilience and on your own character and your sense of emunah, your sense of faith, and you're able to come to peace with your own space. And Yosef was able to do that. He had terrible hardships in his life, but he's able to do that. But the pain that you know that other people close to you that know what you're going through sometimes is greater and so much more difficult than your own pain. Knowing that other people are now in under that weight, under that burden. Ultimately though, like sharing that burden and being with the people closest to you and around you, that allows the salvation to come on a super deep level. This is what's going on in the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. Right, we're in exile, but we're not alone. We're in exile. We're suffering. It's terrible. It's terrible suffering. Thousands of years, pogroms and whatnot. You don't have to detail it. People know. But Hashem is in that same suffering with us. Imaya neichi betzara. Hashem says, I'm with you. They're burdening the burden and also suffering with you. And there's a sense of consolation within that. A story with the Rishner Rebbe. The Rishner, Yisrael of Rishon, who lived a very dignified royal life. He was somebody that was a prince. He was a prince of a man. That's how they once described my Rosh Yeshiva, Meir Stern, in the Mishpacha magazine, a Jewish periodical. Prince of a man. The Rishner was a prince of a man. He would wear golden sandals, like golden slippers. His slippers were made out of gold. He was like a prince. He was a prince. He was royal. But on the inside, somebody once, after he was sleeping, snuck into his room. He wanted to like play around and wear the golden slippers to say, I wore the Rishner Rebbe's golden slippers. And he steps inside and he yells because inside the sandal, the slipper was like rocks and shards. So that on the outside it looked dignified, but he wasn't a person of materialism. He just wanted to play the part of a prince of Hashem. He's Hashem's child. And either way, he was thrown in prison because anti-Semites. And they threw him in prison. And his students went to visit him. Eventually, after a couple of months, first they weren't allowing anyone. The students get there, and they see he's crying. He's crying, and they're all despondent. They're like, "Oh no! Like our Rebbe is sitting here, languishing in prison in tears." And they come closer. And they hear the Rebbe saying, and the Rebbe is saying like this: Hashem, I know everything you do is for a reason. I don't understand why I'm sitting here in prison. There must be a reason. Gam ki elech begeitz ha-maves, says the originator. Even when I'm in the streets of death. Gates ha-maves. Loi ira ra. I'm not scared. I'm not nervous. I'm not sad. I know you're putting me through this terrible suffering. There must be a reason. So I'm not crying for that. But the next words of the pasuk are ki ata imadi. You know why I'm crying? I'm crying ki ata imadi because you're sitting here with me in this prison. You guys are here with me, a simple Jew in prison, languishing here in the exile, away from the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim, Abanuya, the rebuilt Jerusalem. It's full spiritual grandeur, it's full physical grandeur, full its inhabitants at home. That's why I'm crying. Ki ata imadi, because you're here with me in this galus. Got off topic. Back to Yosef. Right? And so Yosef's sharing his identity with his brothers, and his brothers are going to be with him in that guilt, and he's feeling bad that he has to share with his brothers. And he pleads with them, Yosef pleads with them, and he uses the same word of tshuva, va'ata, now in the present. He says, va'ata al te'atzfu va'al yichar be'enecham. Don't be distressed. Don't be depressed. Don't be mad at yourselves. It was for a reason that Hashem sent me. I see he's implying to tshuva. He's implying to the brothers. He's teaching them this very lesson. This very lesson that Rav Nachman of Breslov says, ki avoini agid edag mechatasi apasuk in Tehillim. In Psalms, King David says, ki avoini agid, I will relate my iniquity, my wrongdoing. You know what it is? Says Rav Nachman. You got a bit of comma here? Comma? Ki avoini agid, I'm going to tell you what I did wrong. What I did wrong. What did King David do wrong? King David is one of the greatest people to ever live. Whoever says King David was a sinner is a fool, Talmud says. You know what he did do wrong? Self-admittance. Edag me chatasi. I'm worrying about my transgression. I'm worrying about my past. That's how Rav Nachman reads it. Ruminating about the past and the old mistakes is itself sinful. Okay, you did what you did, and now keep going. Now keep going. And that's what Yosef tells his brothers. Don't be consumed with that guilt. Can you imagine the brothers after finding out what they did and what happened and Yosef, and they would be consumed for the rest of their lives. They wouldn't be able to, how do you continue? He says, Al tergezu b'derech, don't fight on the way. Don't become argumentative. Stop blaming this one, it was your idea, it was that. No. Yosef charts the path of what tshuva is. It's about kindness, magnanimity, broadness, forgiveness, reconciliation. End of episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening this far. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If there's any idea that particularly resonated, have a question, comment, and insight that you would have and like to share, please send it over. You could voice note it and then we could play it in a future episode. And if you'd like to support or sponsor the podcast, definitely open for that conversation. And you could rate it 5 stars, you could share it with your friends, family, fellow idea oriented people, and have a great day overflowing with success.